awaken and see. It is a gift from God. Life itself is a gift from God. It is a privilege to be able to come into this place of worship once again and to sing songs that lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It praises God for who he is and everything that he is. It's good to be able to come and to be encouraged by the presence of each and every person who calls upon the name of Almighty God. God loves us more than we love ourselves, and he has demonstrated that over and over and over again. I know some of our hearts may be heavy. We recognize that each day brings about circumstances that usually are not favorable. But in the midst of it, the sun still shines. The earth is still rotating on its axis, which is saying that God is still in control. And so we offer prayers and condolences to those of you who have lost loved ones. Those of you who have been sick and you are here today, it's good to see you here today. Marcus, we appreciate the wonderful way in which you led us in songs today, the wonderful prayers. And so we're just thankful for all that has been done. If you're visiting with us, know that you're our honored guest. We appreciate your presence as well. You're always welcome here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I want to call your attention to our next beatitude, which is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There is much hatred, bigotry, envy, jealousy, fear, grasping of power, positions and possessions that has caused men to be at war among themselves. Families are at war with families. Nations are at war against nations. There is racial division, economic disparity among people, political wranglings nationally, globally, locally. Our world needs peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. A peacemaker, not a troublemaker, but a peacemaker, solves disputes, erases divisions, reconciles differences, eliminates strife, seeks to build relationships. Peace simply meaning a cessation of war, reconciling broken relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The person who is a peacemaker, first of all, has peace with God. Secondly, he has peace with his fellow man. Thirdly, he has peace within himself. When you think in terms of peacemakers, being called the sons of God. I have asked myself, why are they called children of God or sons of God? It's because a peacemaker takes on the nature of God. A peacemaker is in the likeness of God. Which moved me to, what is it about God that helps us to understand that his nature is that of a peacemaker? One who seeks to solve disputes. One who seeks to erase divisions and to build and make right relationships. And my mind went back to Isaiah 59. The Bible says that the arm of the Lord is not so short that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities separated between you and God. And your sins have hid his face from you. That he will not hear. And the reason is because there is a division that has been brought about between man and God. When a man sins, that puts him at war against God. That brings about and creates a great divide between God and man. But God is a peacemaker. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, that the wrath of God is poured out against all unrighteousness and ungodliness, against every man that holds the truth in unrighteousness. Man has become at war with God because when man knew God, he glorified him not as God. Neither was he thankful. He did not want to retain God in his knowledge. Took that which was created and glorified it above the great God who created the world. And the Bible said that God gave him up, turned him over to a reprobate mind, allowing man to involve himself in all types of uncleanliness, all types of sexual immorality. Men with men and women with women. All of those things that cause that great divide between God, because God is a holy God. God and sin cannot be in fellowship. And we know that because of this, that God has brought into place a way to make peace between himself and mankind who has become his enemy. His own creation has become his enemy. So God is a peacemaker. Well, God, how are you going to do it? Well, first of all, I got to declare the whole world guilty. I got to show you that Gentiles are guilty. I got to show you that the Jews are guilty. And so, Romans chapter 1, Gentiles guilty. Romans chapter 2, Jews are guilty. Romans chapter 3, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world becomes guilty before God. But God, what I want to know, since there is this great divide, what are you going to do? I am going to make peace between mankind and myself. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you get to verse number 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom, this is interesting, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Watch the next verse. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus Christ becomes that bridge. He becomes that way in which God makes peace between himself and sinful mankind. God is a peacemaker. So what did he do? Go back to verse number 24. What did God do? The Bible says he had to bring about that redemption in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. God set him forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. In his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. When Jesus died on the cross, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ was building that bridge, paying the debt for the sins of the world, and being that one bearing the sins of the world and appeasing God for his wrath against all mankind. God built that bridge. Now I want to go to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. And I want to show you that in Christ Jesus, you and I are blessed to have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay right there. When you think in terms of peace with God, there's no more war between God and man. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. When you think in terms of the alienation between God and man, there's no longer alienation between God and man because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The question on the floor is, who provided this? Who initiated this wonderful reconciliation? Now watch the next verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm glad to know that God is a peacemaker. He did not leave us in an undone condition. He was not pleased with the divide between man and himself. And so because he is a peacemaker, the Lord put into action a plan that his son would become the peacemaker. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to look at verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Talking about Christ, for he is our what? He is our peace. Who had made both one, Jews and Gentiles. He had made both Jews and Gentiles one. And what has he done? Had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I want to put emphasis here that it is God who hath made both one, not you and I. God initiated bringing Jews and Gentiles back together again. It is God who broke down the middle wall of partition that was between Jews and Gentiles. God does not want a divide. God does not want a division. God does not want rivalry between Jews and Gentiles. Watch the next verse. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, I want to underscore, make in himself. This is what God does. God is the initiator. God is the one who provides our way of making peace with him. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. I want to just emphasize, God is a peacemaker. What did he do? When he saw that there was a great war between man and himself, God brought Jesus into the world, and he put the sins and all of our iniquities on him. He had laid on him the iniquity of us all, and by his stripes, you and I are healed. I'm telling you, God is a peacemaker. God does not wait for us to get right. God does not wait for us to ask for reconciliation. God, being a peacemaker, God puts into practice, into play, the avenue by which you and I are able to come back to him. And I want to underscore again, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Watch verse number 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. When you look at the church of Christ, it is one body where God is bringing all nationalities into one body. I know that there is much debate over whether there is one church or whether there are multiplicity of churches. God, being the peacemaker, has so fixed it that all nations have to come into this one body. God saw it many years ago, 700 years, Isaiah, before Christ came. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills. And watch it now. All nations shall flow unto it. All nations shall flow unto it. How many bodies does God want? One. How many houses does God want? One. What is God doing? I'm bringing all nations into this one body. Well, why are you doing that? In order to make peace between the nations. I don't want nations. Go get Isaiah chapter 2. I don't want the nations to have war among themselves. I don't want Isaiah 2 and verse number 1. Watch him now. Isaiah, watch him. Word of the Lord said to Amos concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Hurry, watch it. And it shall come to pass in the last days. We're in the last days. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. Here it is. And what? And what? All nations shall flow unto it. Not 350, but shall flow unto it. God doesn't want but one church. God doesn't want but one body. And he wants all nations to flow unto it. But watch him now. Verse number 3. And many shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Here's the most important part of this verse. He will teach us of his ways. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Men will no longer walk according to their will, their ways, their paths, but men, nations, will come into the house of God. God will teach them his ways. God will teach them his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Watch verse number 4. And he, talking about God, talking about our Lord, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And what shall they do? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more. God, what are you saying? I am saying that the church of Christ is a house of peace. It's a created peace. It's where I have made peace. That peace is among nations. Every person who comes into this house, they learn of my ways. They walk in my path. Their mind is no longer their mind. It's my mind. They do it because I said do it. And that's the beautiful thing about coming into the body of Christ. And that is learning the mind of Christ. It is a mind of peacemaking. Are you with me? Now, I want you to go and look with me at Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. And I will soon be through with this first point. Now, I want you to watch this now. The Bible says, let us therefore, watch this now. Let us therefore follow after the things which what? Underscore the word what? Make for peace. Watch him. Let us therefore. Well, why does he say let us therefore? It's because now that you're in the body of Christ, now that you know that he has made peace among the nations, now that you know that his whole purpose is about peace, he said let us follow after the thing which what? Make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify, build up another. We're not in the business of tearing down one another. We're in the business of edifying, building up one another. If there's a place on this earth where peace resides, it ought to be in the church of Christ. Why? Because it is a peace-making organization. Every man that comes into the body of Christ, he is about making peace, because peace had been brought about between him and his God. And that's because God is a peacemaker. Now, looking at that, we follow after peace. The person who is in Christ, who has made peace with God, is a person who is a peacemaker. He works to solve disputes and he does everything he can. I'm talking about us as individuals. We know what God has done. But now that we're in the body of Christ, we do everything we can to solve disputes, erase divisions, reconcile differences, eliminate strife, and build relationship. Why? Because we understand that's the way our God is. When you look at family discord and fighting among siblings, the political wranglings, racial tensions in our great nation and in the world. And we see all of the problems in international relationship. I'm here to tell you that I believe strongly that the Church of Christ is the answer to all of the problems that you find in our world. If the Lord could ever get peacemakers in all of these places, I believe that it will change the whole world in which we live. Because they will not approach it from their mindset, but they will approach it from the mindset of our Lord Jesus Christ. In order to make peace, in order to make peace, and I'm talking about peace between men, and peace between brothers and sisters, and peace among all, you've got to make peace. You've got to build peace. It doesn't come automatically. Are you with me? Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Hurry it right quick. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to see this. Because Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Watch the Bible. We're in the process of building peace. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Watch him. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would. Watch him. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Watch him. Whereby when you read, you may understand. I need chapter 4 and verse number 1. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now watch the Bible. Chapter 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Watch him now. With all what? Lowliness. And with all what? Meekness. And with all what? Long suffering. With all what?
forbearing one another in what? Love. Watch. Before I go there, I don't want to get there yet. Watch this. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, how do I make peace? Here's the way you make peace. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Watch the Bible. Verse number 3. Endeavoring. See, peace doesn't come unless you work at it. You got to work at it. It doesn't just happen automatically. Have you ever gone to these places where they build a bear? You know, you have to build a bear. You know, maybe that's not a good illustration, but in other words, the bear, when you walk in, the bear is not already put together. You got to build the bear. You got to make the bear. All I'm simply saying is that when we talk about peacemakers, peace is not automatic. It takes endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. God has created the unity in the body of Christ. God has brought about this great unity, but it takes us endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Peace is so important. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, how does that play into the Beatitudes? Any person who understands these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, because I can't have peace with you unless I first have the right attitude toward myself. And that is, I've got to be poor in spirit. I cannot think more of myself than I ought to think of myself. I've got to mourn over sin. Are you with me? And I got to learn to be meek. Meek. How do I make peace? I am poor in spirit. I mourn over sin. I'm sorry about the sin that I have in my life, and I'm sorry about the sin in your life. I don't feel like you are a sinner and I'm a saint. We are all sinners. I'm talking about how to make peace. I'm talking about building the bear of peace. You got to have this idea of meekness. And then you gotta strive after the righteousness of God. And then you gotta be merciful. You can't be a peacemaker if you're not merciful. And if you're not pure in heart, getting rid of the duplicity in your mind and your heart, and wanting to just be pure and sincere and honest and wanting to see God, you'll never make peace. When I think about God, God always has been the one who has sought after us. God has never waited on us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God did not wait on them to come and repair the breach. God came and made peace. When Abram was called, God called him, not he called on God. When God sought to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage, it was God who endeavored to bring them out of Egyptian bondage. God has always been the one who endeavors to bring about peace. You and I, if we don't have this idea of poor in spirit, come on, say it with me. Poor in spirit, mourning over our sin, meekness, righteousness, mercifulness, being what? Pure in heart. You'll never be able to be a peacemaker. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. This is where we have to see the beauty of what God has called us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in what? Here it is again. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem what? Other, better than themselves. Watch verse number 4. Look not every man. Watch the Beatitudes there right here. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Watch verse number 5. Here it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in whom? Christ Jesus. Watch Jesus with the Beatitude Spirit, who being in the form of God, Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made, and I want to underscore, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and watch the word again, and was made in the likeness of men. Watch verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Watch verse number 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Watch him now, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And watch it, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So what's your point, preacher? Jesus Christ understood, in order to make peace, I can't stay where I am. I've got to make the initial movement toward mankind. What did you do? I humbled myself. I took up on myself. And I made myself of no reputation. And I put myself in the form of a servant. I didn't come as a king. I didn't come as a wealthy individual. I came as a servant. I came as a representative of the poor. And he said, I took upon myself the form of a servant. And I was made in the likeness of men. God, I'm trying to tell us, if we don't allow ourselves to be in the likeness of God and be peacemakers and make ourselves into what God wants us to be, we'll never be able to make the kind of progress that we need in our families, in the world, and in every organization and every system that we find ourselves. I wish that we could go to Washington and go to the Congress and just give us an opportunity to talk about the gospel. Because if you could talk about the gospel and get some of these men to take on the spirit and the attitude of Christ, I believe it would straighten out a lot of things in Congress. I wish we could go to the United Nations and be able to stand among the nations and tell them about this wonderful plan that God has provided. Tell them about Jesus, who is the wonderful peacemaker, and how God desires that all men become peacemakers. And then as I close, and I want you to understand that when we are peacemakers, then we have peace with God, number one. Number two, we strive to make peace with one another. I don't have to wait until my spouse decides that I want us to get back together. Mm-mm. Because I'm a peacemaker. I go to her and I go to him and I say to him, come on, let's get this thing together. When I'm in the worship service and I have an issue with one of my brothers and one of my sisters, I don't wait until they come. I do everything I can to initiate making peace among those individuals that I feel at war or an antagonism among them. Why? Because I am a peacemaker. If I have a problem with my children, or anybody has a problem with children, you need to understand. You don't have to wait until your children come around to you. You being a peacemaker, you do all you can to go to them. And whatever it takes, if you got to get down on their level and be what they are. I'm not talking about sinfulness, but I'm just talking about humility. In other words, don't go talking about I'm your daddy and I'm this and that. You ought to go to them saying that whatever I need to do in order to make this thing right, I'm willing to do just that. We need more peacemakers. I'm telling you, if we had more peacemakers, we would have happier homes. We would have better government. We would have a better community and everything that we're involved in, simply because we become peacemakers. But then what I like about it is that not only do I have peace with God and peace with my fellow man, but as I close, I have peace from God. I don't just have peace with God, but I have peace from God. In other words, my heart is no longer encumbered. I'm not filled with all types of divisions in my heart, wondering should I do this and wondering should I do the other. My mind is pure. My mind is free because I understand my position in God Almighty. And I understand now that I have peace with God, that God is the one who provides me with everything that I need to live a good life and a life whereby I can go through trouble and go through trials and still be able to have the kind of serenity that God calls for. It doesn't come automatically. It has to come from God Almighty. God has to put it inside of you. I heard Jesus say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He said, not as the world giveth peace, I give unto you. He said, let not, watch him, let not your heart be troubled. Why is it that you're telling me now not to let my heart be troubled? Because he said, the peace that I have from God, the peace that I have in myself, I'm going to give you that kind of peace. And he said, the world doesn't understand this kind of peace. Therefore, don't let your heart be divided. Let your heart be at rest. Why? Because God's got you. I heard him in John 16 and verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, in Jesus I got peace, but in the world I've got tribulation. But be of good cheer, for Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Well, I heard Paul pick up on the same thing when he talked about peace. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. What are you saying? He said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The world doesn't understand the peace that brings to a saint, that brings to a Christian. Why? Because it's a peace that the world doesn't know about. You can't go to Washington and find it. You can't go to the UN and find it. You can't go to Dillard's and buy it. You can't go to Walmart and buy it. It's a peace that has to come from God Almighty. And I heard Paul again in Colossians 3 and verse number 15. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Watch him. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, when you got peace from God, and God is your peacemaker in the things of the world, the Bible says that it will rule your heart. You know how to go through trials and you know how to go through trouble. Why? Because the Lord keeps you. When I think in terms of this idea of having peace, I think in terms of how a little boy one time saw some bullies, and he was dealing with these bullies, and he decided that what I'm going to do, I'm going to draw a line. And what he did was he took his foot and he drew a line. And when he drew a line, he said, I dare you to cross the line. And when those big old boys crossed the line, he decided, I'm going to put my stick down. And he said, now you're on my side. And in other words, we don't have to fight now because you're on my side. Well, that's the same way I feel about God Almighty. I'm at war with God as long as I'm on the other side. But when I can get on the side of God Almighty, then I'm not at war with God anymore. And the peace of God rules my heart. It guides my heart. You can go through fire and be able to withstand it. Why? Because you got peace from God Almighty. God keeps your heart. Help me, Brother Gibbs. I believe I can. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought into antagonism with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't fall and worship the golden image, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Well, when you got peace from God Almighty, when you have peace with God, and you have peace with your brother and your sister, and you have peace, when those times come, let them throw you into the fiery furnace. but you don't have to wear it. Why? Because when you get in the fiery furnace, God will guide your heart and God will guide your thoughts. Why? Because when they threw him in the fiery furnace, Bible says Nebuchadnezzar looked inside and he said, didn't we throw three in? And I look, I see four, and one looks like the Son of Man. In other words, when you have peace from God Almighty, God gives you the peace because you know that God is going to be with you wherever you go, in any style, well, any time. Let me back and slow down just a little bit. I got to tell you about another man by the name of Paul. Paul and Silas, when they were beaten and thrown in prison, they had peace with God Almighty. Midnight, what were they doing? They were singing praise to the God Almighty. And the Bible said that God was with them. How do you know? Because at midnight, there came an earthquake. And God opened the doors of the prison. When you know that you have peace with God, when you know you're on God's side, when you know you're doing what you can to keep peace with your fellow man, don't worry about when trouble and trials come your way. God will be with you and you can keep your sanity, keep your mind. Am I right about it? When I think in terms of even old Saul and Paul, he was taken from Jerusalem and was put on a ship that he might go to Rome. And they tell me that a great storm came up against the ship, but Paul was not worried. He was not concerned. Why? Because he had peace with God Almighty. God promised him that Saul, not Paul, not only will I save you, but I'll save all of those that are with you. Just stay on the ship. Don't get out of the ship. Stay on the ship. I don't care if the ship breaks up. You can make it over on broken pieces. Why? Because you got peace with God Almighty. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, I got problems in my life. I got sickness. I got death. I got this and I got that. But you got to have peace with God Almighty. Why? Because you are a peacemaker. You made peace with God. You made peace with your fellow man. And when you get in your trouble, God will bring peace unto you. Almighty, Almighty, Almighty God. I know I'm right about it. Well, I know I shouldn't have preached like that. But I'm just saying that's peace. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Amen. But it's the truth, isn't it, right? So if I told the truth, I preached long enough. You've heard the gospel. It's a wonderful thing to have peace with God. And to accept Christ. And to know that Christ becomes the very avenue by which this great bond, this great unity, this great fellowship takes place. It's a wonderful thing. You don't ever want to go through life as God's enemy. You want to go through life having peace with God. And so you have that peace when you decide to give your life to Christ. And you decide that I'm no longer going to live according to my own standard and my own way. I'm going to humbly submit myself to the will of Almighty God. There are some young people in this audience. If you could understand what I'm talking about and accept what I'm saying to you now, early in life, I'm telling you, it will reap tremendous benefits in your life, because what you're doing is you're going in life now with God on your side. And then when you get into situations where you know that there is antagonism between you and another, think about what God has done for you. And think about God being a peacemaker. And you go ahead and make peace. Make peace. Do whatever it takes to make peace. That's what Jesus did, and that's what I want you to do. And I guarantee you that God will give you his peace that passeth all understanding. You'll get to the point where you just tell the devil, come on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. I'm all right, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So I am convinced. I am convinced. I'm thank God that he allowed me to live long enough to believe what I preach and to see it. I know God is right. So I say to anybody who is conflicted in mind, don't be, if you have peace with God. And then do whatever you can
to do what God has asked you to do. Be a peacemaker. Will you do that? Come right now, having heard Jesus, believed on him, repented of your sin and confessed him. Now be baptized for the remission of sin. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Would you be free from your burden?